Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Erickson.
And today we have returning guest, hilarious comedian Nico White.
Oh man, Invasion of Privacy. Hello, Kate. Hello, new friend. I hope y'all are good. You know what I'm saying? Pleasure to be here. Invade my privacy.
Yes.
Well, so I just have to say, so I've known Nico since I started comedy. I believe he had just started comedy. He had already been doing it longer than I had. He started at 16. So
14.
Let's see. You started at 14?
So I started at 14.
Okay, so you started at 14. Mm-hmm. I met you, I guess, about 11 years ago, 12 years ago. So how old were you then? Did I meet you when you were 16?
You met me when I was 16. I was 2 years in. You were starting. And I remember when I would first start seeing you. You, Emma Willman, and Alex Carabano all kind of started popping up at around the same time, right? And this is back when they all hung out so much, they kind of started to look alike, right? And there was one day at Laugh Lounge, I remember. I forget what you were going through or what it was. I don't know why, but we had started to speak, right? And the topic was something to do with comedy. And I remember we had a good conversation. And that was, Jesus Christ, that was 12 years ago. Yeah. I was 16. We've seen Kate's kid grow up like the comedy community has. Like, it's weird. I remember when Shane was like, maybe shorter than this, bro. Like, this tall. You know what I'm saying? Like, not too much taller than my knee, you know? And now I hear these, 14 or some crazy shit?
He just turned 15, and he's going to be starting comedy.
Ah, 15, he's going to be starting comedy? I remember when you used to have him coming around, sitting in the back and shit. Crazy. But, I've known Kate a while, yo.
You know what I'm saying? At that particular show, it was one of my first bringer shows, which is when you first want stage time, you have to bring a certain amount of people and you get between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the club, depending on the booker. So I had done this show as a bringer show.
Hot Plush Sunday?
Yes.
Yes.
And wow. I had my friends come and Nico was a regular on the show. He didn't have to bring any people. He just was, making it an awesome show. And he was funny as always. And after, I think you just wanted to give me advice. I think you liked my set. You kind of knew I was crazy in a good way.
Yeah.
And you were just like, keep going. And it was so funny because I remember it for so many reasons. Here's this 16-year-old with so much wisdom, and you can feel his wisdom, right? Mm. So I'm like, you know what? I actually am going to take in this 16-year-old's advice.
Were you perving on him a little bit? How old were you, Kate? Were you 30?
No, what is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I had to ask. I thought maybe you were like, look at this young thing. That's not what happened. My bad.
No, and you need to stop acting like I've ever perved on a teen ever.
Right.
It's one of my favorite jokes that she's perving on teenage.
You want to know what's funny is that Kate is not playing with you when she say that. Like, I don't know if you noticed. I don't know how long y'all working together. Kate meant that. Like, you keep bringing that up. I don't know what this is. Keep bringing that up. And you ain't going to be on that side of the screen. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you fucking with her chakras, bro. She ain't really playing with you. That smile, she half kidding, because you gotta remember her son a teenage boy. That you fucking with things you ought not play with.
No, I think he's right.
No, he is right. Now, Nico, CG is my middle school best friend and now my boyfriend. We reconnected years ago.
That still don't mean she won't fire you off this podcast.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I'm hanging on by a thread as it is. So, I don't know what else I can do. I'll be trying to be funny, but she's on my ass.
I'm telling you, I know.
Because CG, he's got a sense of humor where he does not give a fuck, okay?
I can see, yeah.
And that's great for a lot of reasons. Like, I love him for that. He's not fake. He will say craziest shit. Mm-hmm. But then once you're recording and you make a joke, I would have sex with, first of all, an 18-year-old. Now, I did date someone about six years ago, that was in his 20s, and that was too far for me even. Good person, but that felt wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Need to set it straight. CG, you think?
I mean, I would say you didn't necessarily know how old he was. You
had nice skin. Everybody knew how old I was, bro.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it was a well-known fact. And you know what's funny is that I didn't get too much of that anyway. Not that I, you know, I like to hope that was out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to hope a couple of them would have wanted to, you know, but wasn't nobody really throwing me no draws like that. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really have to worry about all that. You know,
now you are a man, and I'm sure you get.
Oh, I'm grown. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. You
you're
know,
saying but, you're sure he's swimming in the poontang at this point?
If he wanted to be.
You know?
Yeah. You know, yeah.
We grown now. You know what I'm saying? We grown now. We'll leave it at that. But I will say, as far as like comedians, no, never. Like, never. Never once. Yeah.
Yeah, it still gives off creepy, like zero creepy vibes. Like zero. Sorry, I said creepy before the zero.
Oh, you good.
He gives off zero. He has never made me feel uncomfortable, and I've never made him feel uncomfortable.
Never.
Nico has seen a lot of my own dumb behavior. I won't mention names or anything, but he's seen me probably date some dudes that he was like, oh, that's not going to end well for her. But, you know, Nico's just been a real good, he's an amazing comedian and an amazing person to know. He's a good friend.
Yeah, decent.
Yeah. I want to talk about, so the last time, you're a good friend. The last time I saw Nico was about, I guess, a week ago.
Yes.
At New York Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. He's wearing this really cool necklace. I'll let you describe it. Describe the necklace and where you got it. But I did the number one, and I normally don't just go and touch people's jewelry.
Yeah.
But you can describe what happened, Nico.
So it's a thing that my mom got me. So she got me a chain, right? And it's I don't know what you call the jewel, but little jewel with little gold thing on it, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it's nice and black, it lays over plain colors really nice. So I had it on. Kate saw it, she went to touch. I was like, oh no, don't touch it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the only thing mom said. She said, don't let anybody touch it. So that was it. You know, she didn't really give me a reason why she bought, you know, to represent like some good luck, good energy type of thing. So when Kate touched it, just because of how I was told to treat it, I was like, hey, yo, don't touch it. Yeah.
So she drained it of all the magic.
I hope not. You got to remember, no. Kate's kind of magical herself. So she's into all that. So I know it didn't come from a bad place. I wasn't tripping. Yeah. You know? I was just like, you know, I have one of those voices too. Whenever I say anything, I kind of sound a little more serious than I mean sometimes. So I was like, oh no, don't touch it. Right. And I remember my face, like, oh, what? Dad, did something wrong? I was like, oh no, you did. Just don't, you know, just don't touch it. That's all.
Just don't fucking touch it next time. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. And I don't even mean it like that, but you right. know, shit. Tone, my head pointed this way, it could sound like that. I never know. You feel me? But
well,
yeah.
It looked magical. It looked like some kind of obsidian stone.
It could be. I don't know what kind of stone it is. I didn't look into it that much. I just know the lady was like, you know, it's yours. I bought it for this reason. Don't let nobody touch it. It's like, oh, that's easy enough. You know. And a lot of people, believe it or not, are, what's the word I'm looking for? Not. They don't think they're close enough to me to even go to touch my jewelry that brazen. Yeah, I'm saying.
I don't know anybody who does just go grab other people's jewelry. I just found out Kate be doing that.
Yeah, people that ain't seen you in a while. You know what I'm saying? And we are comedians. Whenever you see jewelry, you'll assume that somebody got something because they got that. You know what I mean? We usually don't wear nice things or shiny things ever. You know, we're all very minimalist kind of people. Y'all see how I am for this right now. I keep looking at my side of the screen, make sure I don't look, you know, too skinny around the neck area. Cause this shirt is big, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to make sure I look real, what's the word I'm looking for? Sequential.
I got the same problem, bro. The neck disappears. When
yeah.
I'm all, you know, when you ain't standing up straight, I'm leaning over to look at the neck disappears.
Right. See, but I'm tall and I'm big headed. Like, if I didn't have hair, it'd shock y'all how big the cranium is. So it's just like from certain angles, I, you know, look like I'm tipping over. I don't like. That's why I moved the camera over to where the wall was, so I could balance it out. Like here, you can't see the eclipse. You know what I mean? If I was just around like moved this way where everything else is, you look, it's bigger than the mirror. Yeah. What are we talking about, y'all? We invading privacy.
Yes, you guys are too self-conscious, both of you. But
yeah,
you look great. I wanted to get into what it was like starting comedy at 14 and how has it shaped your life, especially as a mom who wants her son to start at 15.
Yeah.
You know, let me know what it was like being that young, going to high school and doing comedy. And then now, how old are you now?
I'm 28.
28. As a 28-year-old, how do you think your perspective is different because you grew up in comedy?
Yeah. Okay. So a couple things. As far as starting young, anybody that listens to this, you have to understand that I never cared as much about being as young as I was as everybody else did, right? I just so happened to be my age. As a matter of fact, I thought, and I still kind of think, that the people that were, you know, watching, and I'm talking about like industry folks, right? Folks that were watching, people that were writing lists and all that kind of shit. I kind of think I was kind of looked over, you know what I mean? Because that's back when lists would come out about the hottest young comedians and what have you. And even back then, before I left high school, right, I was already doing about 213 shows a year, right? That was before I left high school. So I'm saying that from the time that I was, because I started on the scene right before my 15th birthday, right? But I had already been doing it. So 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, my first 7 years, I was actually under 21, under the legal age of drinking, right? I was actually performing and actually getting paid. There was no bullshit there. I've never worked a standard job. This is the only way I've ever made money. People don't get that sometimes. But I've been pro, I mean, getting paid to do stand-up since I was 17.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And before that even, it was how I made my bread. When I started, because I started so young, you didn't have to tell me, oh, you got to do more comedy. That, what? A fucking course. You know what I'm saying? Once I started, I've been all the way since the first time I tried this. Ain't no half-stepping here. So when like lists would come out and things like that, I remember back then I would go, well, who is making these? Because I looked at it like this, right? You got three kinds of scenes in the New York circuit at the time that were identifiable. You had the clubs, you had what was known as the urban scene, right? The black rooms and all that stuff. And then you had the alternative scene. And the alternative scene, much like the urban scene, is just everywhere comedy happens outside of a comedy club, right? And outside of the urban black rooms at the time. And I was working all those scenes, you know what I'm saying? So I was just looking at it number-wise and like, you know, I don't know if this is a word, but I was looking at the spaces and all that stuff. It's like, well, I work in most of these spaces already, right? So how are they missing me? So now, being in high school, I'm leaving school, hanging out with my friends maybe like 40, 45 minutes after school, then coming straight to the open mics. That was all easy. You know what I'm saying? Nothing about that part of it was hard for me. So now, when I'm about to leave high school, I'm 17 going on 18, I'm already in the scene. When I was 17, I'd already started making my seed start to, you know, to grow a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And it was never, how do I put this? I didn't struggle as far as knowing when it was time to make a change because somebody always like kind of let me know when it was time to make a change. You know, I would tell Shane that the one thing you would need if you're going to start this like for real and do it for real is, man, you got to want to do it and understand that whatever your story is going to be, your story is going to be, and you're going to see a lot of stories in conjunction with yours while you're going through your shit. But I'm happy. I love my job. And when you ask them what it's done for you, you kind of looking at it. I'm sitting in what it's done for me. You know what I mean? No, I'm being real. Like, I don't do anything else. Like, camera, whoever, I don't know if people see this in video, but like, I need y'all to understand that I don't do anything else. I've already lived through my nightmare scenario. I've already seen what it's like when you take my shit from me. You know what I'm saying? And I had to see that. It was almost like a cruel joke. That came in, what last year? Oh, the pandemic and all that stuff. The pandemic hit it. Like, I had announced some shit. You know what I'm saying? It was about to go down right before the pandemic hit. I'm talking, we hit what? The stay-at-home orders 21 days before I was supposed to record a fucking Netflix special? A Netflix 15? And I've been, you know what I'm saying? You feel certain ways, right? And it's like, I didn't have my heart broken and had to go and like make people smile at the end of the day, right? My grandmother passed was probably the biggest thing that ever happened to me that like it numbed me emotionally for a while. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we go through those things and then you still are expected to go and make people laugh. And if this is what you do, like you do for real, then you have to then go make people laugh no matter what you're going through. And having to understand that, it's like, yo, if life go the way that it should, you know, that it should, don't God forbid, but it's like, one day I'm going to lose more people. You know what I'm saying? One day I'm going to lose those folks that, like, I don't want to ever lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, with your grandparents, you know, but it's like, man, one day that's going to be, you know, one day that's going to be, And because this is what I do, I'm going to have to hold that even on those days and go out and try to make people laugh. And trying to understand that, it's kind of rough, you know what I'm saying? Depending on what day that thought crosses your mind, you know. But it's everything, and it's nothing, because to some people, they ain't taking jokes this seriously. You know what I'm saying? A joke is a joke. To me, a joke is also a joke. And then it's also this couch. It's also this chair. It's also that chair. It's also that plant. It's that microwave. It's that washing machine. It's that sink. These cabinets, that refrigerator, is that TV, is that wall unit, is that picture of Jesus, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I support myself. I feed my people off these jokes. And I know that that shit started in a classroom on a whim. You know what I mean? I got a big heart for that. You know what I'm saying? As far as like how comedy raised me, it taught me a lot. It taught me that people can be absolutely... some people can be assets and you don't even mean them to be. You don't even know that they will be just because they're decent people. And then you'll find that some people can be morally, what's the word I'm looking for? Morally bankrupt in the highest ways possible. And they'll try to ruin your shit. And then the only reason that they'll give you for trying to ruin your shit or dim your light is because they were in a bad space, as if that's some sort of, you know, consolation. I had to go through things like that early. You know what I'm saying? Understanding that some people ain't your friends. You know what I'm saying? Even if you thought that they were. You know what I'm saying? I went through that at like 16, you know, but I'm lucky in a way that I did because you see it. You know what I'm saying? Starting this thing so young, like certain things, when I see it, I know exactly what that is. You know what I mean? I can tell, like, I judge people not all the time by how they treat me. If we're talking about like, comedically, right, on the scene. Because you got folks that we work with, and you have folks that are, comedians and everything, and then you have folks that are, like, the industry adjacents and whatnot. But it's like, I can see certain behaviors. How you treat me, I don't always judge you by that these days, because I'm not the kind of person where you're going to feel comfortable treating me a certain way, right? Anybody that's ever been rude, disrespectful, as far as I'm concerned, he's usually only tried to do it behind my back. I don't give off that kind of energy of where you think you're going to do that in my face, right? I'm not intimidating, but it's one of those, like, we understand. I ain't going to go for all that, right? So when it comes back to you sometimes, you see those behavior ticks in people, you know? They'll bring somebody up, and they'll shit on the person, and you go, but wait, you smile in that person's face when you see them. Okay, I understand. I know exactly what I'm dealing with. When you in this person's face, you'll talk about them this way. So why should I think you won't talk about me? Won't give you too much. You know what I'm saying? Understood. When I see folks that treat folks differently because of what they assume their position is, I give you arm's length.
Mm-hmm. Nico's kind of been like this since I met him at 16. Like that was
deep ass kid.
Yes. And that was the thing. Like when he pulled me aside, he actually, what's interesting is what he just said is kind of what he said to me then, which at that point I was like, I'm never going to need a break from this. Like I had just started. And like, I also thought I was going to be famous in a year.
Right.
Like I was like, I had it. I could never picture why you would lose steam. Yeah. And Nico said, you're going to have moments where you want to quit. Keep going. And he said, I'm only saying that to you because I believe in you and I think you can make it and that you're funny.
Yeah.
But I just remember at that time, I was like, why would I ever want to? And like now, years later, there have been many moments where I'm like, I hate this. Fuck this hard. Yeah, like you have to want to do it. But he's written.
I was thinking all the things Nico was saying. Like of how hard things get, kind of anything like that you choose to do in life, like how hard it gets when you keep doing it. And then you gotta keep doing it, keep going. Especially like, you know, I'm pretty funny in a room in a little crowd and we're talking and we're having a good time. But like I'm in the mood right then. But if you got a time, you gotta go every day and just stand up and make people laugh, just like he was saying, like somebody pass away. You had a terrible day. You're this close to getting in a fight with somebody on the subway, like, and then you make people laugh. You got to drop that shit.
Yeah.
To me, that's huge. I got mad respect for people who do that shit.
Shout out to Artie Fuqua. And again, it's just the things that you learn that you never knew taught you anything until you go through something. Because, man, back when I forget how old I was when this happened, but. Artie lost somebody really like super important to him. The man lost his son. You know what I'm saying? And it's one of those things where, again, you kind of taught through. I watched a lot of sitcoms growing up, so I was kind of taught by watching, right? And to see him go through that, like, bro, him and his son looked alike. They damn near looked like twins. You know what I'm saying? So to know somebody's going through that type of tragedy, but when you saw him, right, and you know that somebody's hurting, that's the. You can't even imagine no hurt like that. You know what I'm saying? You would never want to. The fact that that man would come out and wouldn't, he was not a black hole as far as energy was concerned. He was still like a sunlight when he was in rooms. That, when I saw that, so like when my grandma died, I thought about people like that, people like, you know, shout out to Mike Yard, people that have went through things, you know what I'm saying? Where it was like, but it didn't change their energy. Because you realize your life is going to be your life anyway. You know what I'm saying? To any comedian listening to this or might want to start comedy, and like, and CG, I hope that you don't start, and this is why. No, I...
Nico!
Well, like, I get you, but man, I'm like, he got no fucking heart for my baby. And the thing about it is that, you know, like, again, I love this, and I feel kind of differently about it than most people do because I started so young. You know what I'm saying? And like, and because it's all I do, to where it's like, I don't like half steppers. So if you ain't gonna love my girl, don't approach her. We got enough people that's already fucking with her.
If you're just gonna make love to her just one or two nights a week, and then not even call her back,
you ain't even getting in the room with baby girl like that. You know what I'm saying? So unless you want to actually like wine and dine and pull off the arms of people like me, then damn it, don't touch it. And I
disagree.
Makes sense.
I disagree.
And why do you disagree?
Because this is a big thing that I've had to not really much debate like in person, but like in my mind, I disagree with, because there are comics like you. I don't want to, there are a lot of comics that hit the stage almost every night, especially if you're in Manhattan, where there are tons of clubs, tons of spots. There are many comics that get up multiple times a night and feel that if you're not hitting the stages like they are, that you're not a real comedian or you don't love it as much. And I have to say bullshit and fuck you. Not really, because I would never say fuck you to Nico.
Yeah, yeah.
And he could kick my ass. But but also because, you know, for me, I came up also still teaching full time and a mother. I couldn't do the same thing. And then when my Lyme disease flared up, I really couldn't. And I know that there were some people, whether they were actually judging me or it was in my head, that like, you gotta, I love comedy. It is my baby, but you gotta do also what works for you. And for some people, hitting the stage as much as Nico does and some other amazing devoted comics, like that's, I give so much respect to that. You can't hate on that. But there are other comics like me who hit the stage a little less, and I'm just as funny. I hit that stage on the Nice Try show. I'm not saying all of my new shit worked, but I hit it, and I just started getting back into the swing of things. So I don't think you have to approach it in one way. I think people can approach it from different ways, but I know the mentality you're talking about, because I had a friend who recently quit.
Hold on, wait. Okay. And I'm only going to jump in here because I disagree strongly with you, and I don't think you know what I'm saying. Because I'm not talking about how much you get on stage. I can care less about that because I know exactly what you're saying. That's different for everybody, especially if you're in a different market. If you're not in New York, you might not be able to get, it might be impossible for you to get up four times a week. That's not my point.
Like LA,
Either way, that's not my point. I'm saying strictly and only, if you do not love the thing that I love, the way that I love it, I would rather you not start this. Why? Because your only intention that I can see wouldn't be pure. Nothing about the man that I'm talking to right here on this phone call, right on this Skype call, says that he has any intention of naturally wanting to try stand-up. And that it's everything has been like, oh, you should try because you're funny. You don't have anything in you that wants you to come and try this. Stay away from my girl. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter how many times you get up, because you have no heart for this. You didn't want to come into this. That's my point. And anybody that's hearing this, I'm like, oh, he's a little hard. No, I've been standing on this same point since I was 17 years old. Go watch a documentary called One Mic. It's 13 minutes long. I say at the end, if you want to go do acting, go do acting. If you don't want to be a comedian, don't be a comedian. The things that go into this and actually doing this are not as simple as A, just getting on stage, B, getting on stage a lot. None of that shit has anything to do with actually being a comedian, because you can get on stage a lot and still quit. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing. Aptitude has a lot to do with it. What Kate just mentioned just now, getting on stage after not being on stage in a long time. It's aptitude. You can't fake aptitude, right? Some people have it, some people don't. Now, as far as being just as good, this is the competitor in me. Now, if you're going to be just as good as me, let me know that we're playing. Because if we're playing, I can put up some points and then wait for you to come put up some more points. If you're just as good and you ain't getting up as much as me. Because I'll tell anybody in a minute, you tell me how good you're doing in comparison to me, I'm going to make you prove it. So.
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, honestly, you can't really say what comedian is funnier than any other comedian. You really can't, because it's a matter of opinion. Someone could say who's funnier, Chappelle or I can't even think, Chris Rock, right?
Okay.
Like, you can't. Like, that is a matter of opinion.
Yes, you can. No, it's not. That has to stop, too. That's something that people do to protect their feelings. Bullshit. You can... The area of effect.
Who's the funnier comedian, Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle?
Dave Chappelle is way funnier than Chris Rock. And you know how I can prove it? I can prove it because when you see them both walk into a room, you can almost tell that Chris Rock was definitely a guy that was kind of shy growing up. How can I tell that? Because I was a shy kid. I'm talking about imaginary friends and kindergarten type shit. You feel me? I know what it's like when you walk in a room. He's a fucking millionaire, one of the greatest of all times. When he walks in the rooms, he goes straight to where his friends are sitting. Why? Because that's what you do when you're a little bit shy. That's what you do. That's what most people do anyway. It doesn't stop you from being a person. When you see him in Chappelle, you already know Chris Rock is coming in prepared. That set is prepared. And he ain't gonna miss a word. Why? Because when you're that kind of person and you're doing his kind of thing, to be prepared, that's what makes you different. That's what takes away, like, Chappelle might be naturally funnier than he is, right? Like, you should tell Chappelle, the way Chappelle is, that's the way he is. He's another one that started at 14. he speaks what he is now. He speaks that. That's language for him. He's transcended just doing jokes. That's language for him. Even people like Chris Rock, it's language for them. They're speaking their language comedically now. But if you ask me which one is funnier, there's no doubt about that. It's Chappelle. He's funny.
So you think you're funnier than me? That's what you're telling me, Nico.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah. If you think you're fucking with me, by all means, we can set it up whenever. You can put me up. But no, but see, but again, but you feel the energy. Like, I'm so with what I'm saying, as far as like, even like you saying, like, no, my first thing is to do is like, well, go compare it, right? And when I say go compare it, apples and oranges are both fruits. If I got a dollar and I got to buy some fucking fruit, I'm gonna compare that apple and that orange if I can only get one. It can be done. So if you wanna,
that's true. I'm buying an orange.
Exactly.
It's a true statement.
Boom.
You can pick one. You can pick.
That's my point. So if
my
you wanna,
point is, it's a matter of opinion.
But it's not sometimes, my friend, and I can prove it to you. In your matter of opinion, you can take any tape that we have, you know what I'm saying, and compare the two. In whatever amount of time, I'm confident that I'm getting more and higher. More meaning last, higher meaning volume. I'm confident in that. And that's why I put shit out so it can be compared. You know what I mean?
Oh, decibels. You saying if they take the decibels, yours are going to be higher.
I'm saying that I came up in a way where that was one thing that almost wasn't allowed. You had to be honest about who, what, when, and why. And the way that you, like you said, it's all subjective, right? The audience is subjective. But if we're all people that our goal is to get the most laughter out of these people, that can be measured. And the way it can be measured is in the laughs that you pulled out of the audience in that room.
But
it's
that
difficult.
I have to say, because look, I have seen shows, right, where I've seen shows with Sarah Silverman, yeah, right, Louis C.K. Now, sometimes they're trying new material, sometimes they're not. And I could have named a lot more people. But like, sometimes the comic, and this could even be at a show where no one knows even the headliner really.
Of course, yeah.
But like, I've seen sometimes the laughs get louder for like a hack headliner than the feature who has more deep and thoughtful humor. So, and honestly, between me and Nico, I will say I never would have even wanted to compare, because Nico is one of the funniest Manhattan comics. Like, that is a statement that I believe.
Let me jump in there, and ego included. You got to take that Manhattan off that, truly, because I'm not just funny in Manhattan. I done toured this country already. I done been to Canada already. I'm in front of people that speak nothing what I speak, that know nothing about what I know about as far as life is concerned. And I'm talking to people who don't even look like me 98% of the time. So I got to stop you there. You know what I'm saying?
When I say Manhattan, it's because I think that's where you're forged in the fires, in a sense, of comedy. Like, if you're slaying Manhattan stages and other stages, it wasn't supposed to be an isolation statement.
No, I know.
Nico is cream of the crop. But in terms of like comparing funny, I do think, like, once again, I want to name some, like Emma Willman, Leah Bonema, Nathan McIntosh, you. Like, if someone told me to, like, who's the funniest of those, I disagree. I think it's a matter of opinion. I've seen so many people slay, but to me, some of the people slaying are slaying with concepts that I've already heard and seen, where some are pushing limitations. Like Leah Bonema, to me, one of my favorite comics.
Likewise.
They'll say things that I'm like, I haven't heard someone say. Maybe the first time she tries it, it didn't get the strongest reaction at first, because she's saying something that's blowing their minds a little bit. They haven't heard a woman talk about that concept that's also in an activist. And now I think you do that as well. I think you push boundaries. But what I'm saying is, I don't think you really can compare in that way. And I really also regret saying it, because now, since I'm getting my legs back, and Nico and I always end up on the same shows because the universe does that, I'm going to be like, Nico, don't you dare fucking come and watch my sex. I'm not going to need him being like.
It'll never be one of those things where I do anything like that maliciously. You got to ask any of my friends.
I know, but.
If you tell me that we going to play a game, then I'm ready to play. And I'm ready to play at all times. I'm just saying you can't tell me that we play at the same level and then not want to play. You can't do both.
How about this?
Shoot.
However you think you can measure this, mm-hmm. if I were getting up, which I'm planning on getting up more now that like COVID's over and hopefully my Lyme's totally getting worked through, like I do think, because we have been on the same stage as when I was getting up. Yeah. And I remember us both killing. I don't, in my head, like there are some comics that I'd have to go after and I'd be like, fuck. Like when I first started, Mike Yard, Jessica Kearson, you know, like there were some people you're like, that is a full on beast that's been doing it forever. Like, but I always felt like an equal to you and many others.
Yeah. So
for you to be like, I'm 100% funnier. I'm like,
What you want me to say, Kate? Again, when you talk,
you, Nico, but
it's not even about being me. When you say that, what do you expect me to say? And let's think about what we're talking about. When you go, yo, I'm just as good as you. Again, Kate, I started at 14. This is all I do. If you're gonna tell me you just as good as I am at what I do, and then also tell me, oh, I'm just getting back to getting on stage. I get up 500 times a year. Even in the pandemic, I got up 325. So my point only being that. No, I really do this. So before you tell me like, yo, I'm just as good as you, like you, I flip material all the time. You know what I'm saying? Dark Out came out last year and I put out Marcellus last year. That's 2 hours and some change. I'm on the new set now. So when I say that, I'm saying it can be compared. I was only going to say, even when I brought that up, take any set that we are on or even any short set. If you got a 5 minutes, I can send you a 5 minutes. Compare it. But if you're going to tell me that you're just as good as me, I'm going to say prove it. That's only because it was bought to me that way.
All right, give me some time. I will prove it, Nico.
That's all. Whenever
you put 2 hour long Johns out in the last year?
Mm-hmm. And hey. Introducing Me came out a couple years before that, and that's 1 hour and 6 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always down to compare.
Let me ask, when you do those hour long Johns, mm-hmm. do they record it like a bunch of times and just take the best take, or you just get the one time?
Usually you record like a special or something in two takes. I never knew that. You know what I'm saying? When I was about to have my 7 year anniversary, I was like, yo, I really want to do something. You know what I mean? The number 7 is important to me. So 7, 8, 14, like, you know, certain of my favorite numbers I always wanted to mark. And when the time came around, you know, I wanted to put out a special. Like, I really wanted to put out an album. And then I reached out to the folks at the spot called Temple Horse. And shout out to Ryan Hoffman and Nick Ruggia. You know what I mean? God bless them both. But I reached out to them, and they were like, yo, we can record it. And I'm like, fuck yeah, let's record it. And I only had one show. And we caught lightning in the bottle. And so far, by the grace of God or whoever's in charge of all this, anytime I ever recorded anything, right, I was able to catch that lightning in the bottle. That was the case for Introducing Me. That was the case for Marcellus. And even with Dark Out, you know what I'm saying? So it's all in the person. I haven't had the opportunity to perform like a long joint more than one take. You know what I mean? Right. I would love to know what that's like. But it's weird. Like, even when people do specials, they don't usually have the audience pay. Like, it's usually a free show. You know what I'm saying? Every time I've done one, I've had people pay for the show. You know what I'm saying? Pay the admission price and whatnot. I always felt like, you know, people actually put an investment in something that they paid for. You know, at least I know I do whenever I do something. But most times when you do that, you do definitely get a couple takes. You know what I'm saying? In my experience, though, I've only ever done one take.
Yeah, because I would think it'd be damn hard just like, I mean, even shooting a sitcom or something, they're doing 2 minute scenes and they do that 20 times to get the best one to make the laugh hit. So like to me, I think about it like for you to sit up there for an hour, it's just you. You don't get to do takes. You're just spitting. For it to really hit, that must be hard as shit.
And who knows, right? It's because it has its own level of difficulty, but persistence, you keep doing something, you going to learn. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you fish. At a certain point, you're going to know, okay, if I'm going for this big, if I'm going for this big catch, maybe I won't swing the rod like this. Maybe I'll just drop the lure in, you know what I'm saying, with the bait on it and let them bite. You know what I'm saying? It's all in your technique, and everybody's technique gets sharper as they keep going, if they wanted to.
And I'm going to say, CG, I'm not going to force anything, but because CG was writing some stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And some of it was the funniest shit I've ever heard. Some
I'm sure.
It, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So once you...
But I do know, but I do get that performing it is a whole different thing. Because me, I'm rehearsing it in the basement by my damn self. You know what I'm saying? I know that if there's people there, I got to remember this shit. I got to make them laugh no matter what's going on. I'm just saying, I'm not saying I don't want to do it or I don't think it would be fun. I'm saying I respect the shit out of what y'all do. Because I know there's a lot more that goes into it than just making funny jokes. There's a huge amount of shit that goes into it all at once. And you got to hold that together and you got to hold it together for years and years. So like, I'm just speaking out of respect, really. Not that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. Look, it's like anything. If somebody wants to try, I don't know, give me another carpentry. If you want to try carpentry, try it. You know what I'm saying? Give it a shot. See if you like it. Why not? If you have an interest in it, but just have an interest in it. You know what I'm saying? Then learn to respect it. But if you find that you don't want to do anything with it after you learn to respect it, then my question would just become, what are you here for? Space and numbers are... You in the space, you add to a number. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be there. But if you're not, shit, don't. Life is short as fuck these days. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
Yeah. And I will say, like, because anyone else who said what Nico said, I would probably never talk to them again in a sense.
That's
But because Nico has been working his ass off since he was 14, working so hard, dedicated his entire life to this craft, I understand where you're coming from. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, your material is constantly being worked on. Like, you are one of the most dedicated comics. So I can also see why, because I haven't been hitting the stages like you recently, I can understand where you're coming from.
I might even
be talking about raw talent too, in a sense, which we both have, and it's different. I just think, like, I don't know. I think it's that whole thing everyone says now, compare equals despair.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know.
Only if you wanted to, because I truly do feel like there's nothing wrong in that. And there's nothing wrong in the honesty of that, and there's nothing wrong with the feeling of that. I come from the era of, yo, if we gonna do it, let's do it. I come from the respectfully competing type of
a
era.
Competitor.
So what I come from, it's how I am. And you can go back, you can ask Mama Love if you challenge baby boy, damn it, I'm challenged, let's go.
Well, can I ask you a question? Who do you think's funnier, Kevin Hart or Sarah Silverman?
I think it's no question that Kevin Hart's funnier, because again, they've both been out God knows how long, and look at Kevin's magnetism. Kevin's attracted the whole fucking world. Kevin Hart sells out arenas. I don't know how it's even a question. He gravitates more people to his fucking planet. Just more people. Just more people. You ain't never seen have we ever seen a special with homie at an arena the size of what Kevin Hart's pulling all the time?
Do you mean when you say like, Sarah Silverman? Well, but right,
yeah, the big dog.
I don't measure it on that. I'm not measuring it.
So then, how are you measuring it? I measure
Kevin Hart. I think opinion. That's how what I'm saying. Like, I think Kevin Hart is funny. He's great. I have nothing against Kevin Hart.
He's
more
than funny. He's one of the standouts of a very elite comedy class. In fact, he's the standout of that class. He's the standout of that class. And we gonna say Kevin isn't funnier than people that he's already bigger than, that were bigger than him originally? What are we talking about? That doesn't make sense.
Because you can have an actor who's getting bigger movies, but isn't as good as an actor as someone doing indie films.
Okay, that's acting though. I'm talking stand-up. I'm talking pure stand-up. I am talking
general, like,
See, yes. I'm talking.
I think Sarah Silverman is way funnier than Kevin Hart.
As a stand-up?
My opinion.
As a stand-up. Yes. Give me three jokes that are as big as Kevin's top three jokes. And I'm not talking about when he
can remember specifically any of their.
You can't even remember specifically the jokes of the person that you're talking about, and you telling me they're better than Kevin Hart. Let's round them off. All right. That joke rings off like music. Like, stop playing. Opinion and fact are two different things. It is a fact.
Life differently. The way we're viewing the world even could be differently. Like, I'll keep playing or not playing. I don't really know how to answer.
My point only
I'm just telling you how I feel.
Right. That's how you feel, right? And
Let me ask CG two comics.
True.
Or maybe you have to come up with two, but you're so strong and you're definite. So CG, who do you think's funnier? Shit, Nico, you come up with two really funny comics.
Okay, I got you right now.
I got to go with Chappelle and with Kevin Hart though for the first two questions.
Well, I thought Chappelle too, but I also like
pretty much a definite, but
even though Chris Rock did.
Let's go. Let's go. Cat Williams, Louis C.K.
I'll answer.
I don't think I've seen enough Cat Williams to know, but
honest, man.
I think what I seen of his though was fucking hilarious. Okay. I mean, he's real animated. He's real animated too.
Love Cat Williams.
But I like me some Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm. But he jerks off in front of people. He shouldn't be jerking off in front of
that. I mean, I'm not really taking that into consideration. Mm-hmm. But
no one asked me to talk right now anyway.
Nah, you good.
I haven't seen enough Cat Williams to say.
That's fine. Right, perfect.
Because I can't jump on. I'm leaning toward Louis C.K., right? But I've seen more Louis C.K.
And that's honest. You've seen more Louis C.K. Now, I've seen them both.
Who's funnier, Nico?
I prefer Cat, and that's my personal opinion. Now, if I'm getting to how I think about it with my opinion out of it, I think Cat still, right? And the reason that I think Cat still is because I feel like I could pull more of Cat's jokes off paper, pull his face out of them, and just take the words themselves, and they hit harder. Cat shit rings off classicer, right? And what I mean by that, because the classicer is not a word, what I mean by that is you really tapping into an emotion with some of those jokes. Like, they really hitting the time. It's really like a hit record. Good comedy has the same effect as good music. You hear that shit go, I get that more from Cat. You understand? And that's an honest comparison because, like you, I was mostly exposed to who? I was mostly exposed to Mr. C.K. Cat Williams was somebody that I had to find. I got Cat Williams DVDs in a bag of bootlegs that a neighbor gave to us. You feel me? Found that, turned that on, and turned Louis on. Turned them both on at the same time. I think it was Chewed Up or some shit like that. Got them both in DVDs. Put them both on, not knowing who either of them was. Now being able to be in this and know what jokes are, no, joke structure and shit like that. Man, come on, man. Now, I can do opinion, and I can do what I think the fact is. But at the end of the day, what we debating right now, for the folks that are listening, I hope y'all take this out of this more than anything. What we talking about right now is philosophy, right? There's many ways to look at anything. Like Kate mentioned, saying that I talk in definites. It's not, I don't even know if it's as much definite as much as, like, I know my sport. You know what I'm saying? And I know if we talk.
I know my sport too.
I know, sir. You do. I'm not taking that away from you, ma'am. Nor am I saying that you don't. You know what I'm saying? I'm only talking about myself right now, though, right? Because I can't speak for you. So what I'm saying is that when it comes down to it, and this is for anybody, if y'all want to play, play. Steel sharpens steel. Play. All right? And if you say something, be ready to stand on that and be ready to prove it. Because you can't just say things. We do this no matter what you do. I don't give a fuck if you a garbage man. If the thing is I'm getting more garbage bags into this garbage truck before the end of the night, once you say you can get as many as the other person, you better get it. You better get it.
Yo, I feel a TV show coming on, dude. Garbage Wars or some shit.
I'm talking with it. About. Be ready to do the thing that you do. Ready to do that. and be ready to be compared to the next garbage man.
I felt that I had already proved myself. Let me just say something. I felt through the last however many years that we were getting up on stages, similar stages together, I personally always felt, even from that one fucking basement show in Brooklyn, I don't know if you remember that one.
Which one?
There was a basement show. The guy was good. I don't want to throw out names. I believe.
Oh, I get you.
Like, it was great. I don't mean to diss on it because I really don't miss any shows usually because I'm thankful for the stage time. But it was a little, it was a different show. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, it was a lot.
But I always felt me, you, now I'm throwing out names, Emma, DeStefano, Carbagno. I always felt like we were on an even playing field.
Yeah.
I never felt like, you know, this one's way up here. And this, so when I said I'm as funny as you, I wasn't trying to get into no, like, you know, I don't think it's even measurable in the way you do think it is. But I was just saying, we both kill stages. It's not like you're going up there. You do Samurai Sword it. I give you mad props.
Yeah.
But I have Samurai Sworded my own stages. I'm not saying
that
I'm right there right now at this moment because I'm now sharpening the steel again. But I always felt like the people I named, like I said, DeStefano, Cam,
Emma, Bonham,
I always felt like we were on the same plane.
You don't feel inferior to those people, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't feel inferior to me or anybody. And I'm going to tell you again, damn it, prove it. If you as good as me and you knocking it down
as good as me. Though, for you to say that, I'm like, we've been proving it.
Listen to me, Kate. I'm not saying that you're not, nigga. Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that you're not.
No one's called me that in a long time. Thank you.
No doubt, nigga. Now, what I'm saying is, whenever you say that, right, to anybody, no matter who you are, and I ain't talking about UK, and I ain't talking about
UCG. I said we were as funny as each other. I didn't know you were going to get all Nico the Kang on me.
But I'm not even getting there. I'm telling you that if you're saying that you're as good as anyone that likes to play like that, when they go, fuck yeah, now show me, right? I ain't saying that in a disrespectful way. I don't even know how you could take it like that.
I thought I had already showed you. That's where I'm like, well, okay, like maybe in a couple years when I feel like I'm like back up and I'm also working on getting an ass, which I know to you doesn't mean anything in comedy, but to me it does.
Get your butt.
I'm missing something.
Get your butt.
I'm getting it. I thought I had a bubble butt and then my lovely boyfriend was like, you got a wide pancake ass.
I didn't go all there.
You kind of did, baby. Let's not play. If Nico's talking about, did you not say that my butt was looking...
I don't need to be in y'all business like that. I ain't gonna let that happen. That's y'all business. That's for y'all.
He was right. He was right. And it's mind, body, spirit connection. I was flat in the butt and I was flat somewhere in my personality. So as I learned to get a bubble butt, I'm gonna learn to pop more on stage. I'm not right now, if I had to go up against Nico right at this moment, I'm sure he'd get more laughs. That's why I'm not trying to even do that right now. I'm saying, give me more time. I'm getting some new stuff, but I always felt like we were, I don't want a competition. Cause I just was saying, I felt like me, you, and some others were in that same thing.
That don't mean that we not. You know what I'm saying? Nothing I'm saying don't mean that we not. Nothing I'm saying is supposed to change how you feel about it. Literally, all I'm saying is like, I ain't know how to describe this. If you don't get it, you don't get it almost. But it's one of those things that if you want to talk about racing and you're talking to somebody that loves the race, damn it, let's race. That's me. All right? So, all right. Yeah, I wasn't shooting. I'm only saying that, yo, when it comes to the art of stand-up itself and performing that shit, right?
If Nico sees me bomb a show at New York,
you bomb the show.
But it's gonna extra hurt because of this, though. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like Nico's seen me do well. He don't care. Now I'm gonna be like, shit.
It would.
Then I'm gonna have to like.
Only you would think about it, right? Because not only would I not think about it. Again, the reason why you even able to talk to me after I said what I said, when you usually want to talk to someone else, is because that wasn't my intention. Intention and execution matter a lot, right? What I said, the intention behind it was simply, okay, if you run it, then I'm ready to run. That's it.
I just don't think you can measure it is what I'm saying.
And I disagree. We'll never agree on that. because it can be measured. And I've always seen the literally, and I swear to God, everybody that's always said that it couldn't be measured were people that never wanted it to be measured, because when it gets measured, they have to fucking be some form of honest. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not talking about you.
Let me get this out. Right. At the end of the day, right, we do a thing. Our job is to make audiences have fun. That is our job. There's definitely different ways that you can make that happen. There's different styles and all of that. And it's all in the night. You know what I'm saying? Like you mentioned earlier about the hack that got over on the deep person. The hack got over on the deep person that night. The hack beat that deep person, right? Because the job is to make sure that people have fun. Even if you're breaking barriers and pushing boundaries, you have to release that tension. That's the job. That's the gig. That's the technique. That's the technique. That's a bad motherfucker. Somebody that can take whatever it is they talking about, whatever it is they talking about, and really push that shit. You gotta make the crowd have fun. Because at the end of the day, every comedian can be on the same lineup with each other. And we all know what we feel like if we don't get the same type of, not the same type of laughs, but we all know what it's like if somebody gets more laughs than we do. We know how we feel. And last thing I'll say on this topic is, first of all, I love this kind of conversation, because I truly do love to talk comedy like sports. I really, really do. Really, 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 really do. So you'll never lose me in a conversation like this. I love this type of shit.
I just know CG might have to go soon, so I didn't want to, like...
That's okay. I'm just meeting CG. I don't know CG like that. If CG jumped, you know, I'm okay to miss you, but I'll be all right. But no, it's one of those things, yo, where, I almost forgot my point. But where, like you, I don't think it can be measured in things like followers, but I'm saying I do think comedy is measured in the laughs. I've always thought that, right? I think when you're live in a room with somebody, you can't run from that, right? Because no matter what, you have to do your job. And I think, like, even people like Mac that you're talking about who don't have the followers yet, you can't lie in person, though. You can't lie in person. That person with the followers is going to have to go up right before or right after Mac. You're going to have to go right before, right after whoever. You can't fake that live show. No matter how you feel on the inside, no matter what your opinion is, you got to stand on stage before or after whoever you go after. And all your opinions and the things we tell ourselves, all that go out the window, and you stand in front of these people with your material for that night. Now, on those nights, who's going to get it out of the audience? That's going to be honesty that you have to leave that show with, because you're going to see. You're going to see. On that night where you thought, oh, I'm just as good as so-and-so, so-and-so might go up there, blah, 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 pow, knock your set right out the park. And you're going to have to sit with that and know that that night, that person got your lunch. They got your lunch. You got to eat. You got to sit with that. You have to sit with that. And if you are...
Sometimes the audience is also an asshole, Nico, because I did a show. No, it's
what does that mean? Like, how many caveats? How many caveats I got to give the comic?
I did a show at a synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, and CG knows, I told the rabbi at the end I was gonna fist him. That actually is my bad. That is my bad. But I was funny as fuck, but I wasn't getting the laughs. I was funny though. Telling the rabbi I was gonna fist him, I made 10 of the younger people in the front laugh. But I bombed, even though my shit was more fire than some of the other people, but that particular audience wanted to burn me at the stake.
That's my point. So even with all your funny shit, that night, the honest truth is you bombed. No matter what, you bombed. You can add in whatever you want, you bombed. Because that night, we couldn't meet the standards of those people to make them laugh. I've had those nights. We all have those nights. But the honesty is in knowing what happened. You bombed. Ain't no extra there. Oh, I did some fire shit. Nah, nigga, you bombed. It's comedy. That's a part of what we do. You know what I'm saying? And again, quote one of my goats, Cat Williams, even said that, like, you know, the bomb, when you had that bad night, that's the night that's almost more important than the kill, because you're going to have to sit with all those questions after that. Do I come back tomorrow? Should I come back tomorrow? All those kinds of things. It's really beautiful. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to get that deep into the feeling of the shit if you really love it. So that'd be my biggest thing. Really, really love this. You know what I'm saying? Really love this. Be willing to fight for it.
See, did you want to say anything before we wrap it up? I know Nico and I kind of didn't.
It was just nice to have you on, Nico, real deal comedian, since you were young. Always nice to hear how it is. Thanks, brother.
Family, thank y'all.
Nico, where can people find you, your albums, everything?
Hey, so y'all, that if you'd like to find me, please check out, I got some work out. I got a special called Introducing Me. That's my first joint. You can look that up on YouTube, NekoWhiteInTroducingme. You can check out my second album, Marcellus, MarcellusUS. That is on iTunes and everywhere albums can be picked up. And I have a new special out called Dark Out, DarkOut. You can find that on YouTube. Find that, give it a like, give it a comment, let me know what you think. It's my little project that I really, 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 really feel very strongly about. I wear my heart on my sleeve and I cut that shit open on Dark Out and let it bleed on the mic. So give it a look. I really think you'd like it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nico, for coming on. And
thank y'all so much.
For anyone, if you want a healing, kwolf27@gmail.com. Yeah. And once again, Nico, thank you so much. Nico hasn't changed, by the way. He hasn't aged, and he also looked like he was in his 20s at 16. He did not look like a 16-year-old. So Nico literally hasn't aged. But he looks like a man. He always looked like a man. But
let's that hope was keep also that up.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want it to break apart at 32. But for real, y'all, thank you. I had a great time talking with y'all. Bye.